Murder and mystery and mayhem. Do you need another good book for your summer reading pile? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today, back once again for the third time, Danielle Lincoln Hanna. And she has out the third book in her Mailboat Suspense series. It's just out, and we're going to be talking with her about her thoughts on writing suspense and what makes a good book. And of course, we'll talk about the book itself, the third one in her series. I finished it a few days ago and really enjoyed it a lot. The book is set in Lake Geneva, which is kind of cool. And so it's a location you may be familiar with, and I hope you'll join in the conversation as we talk with her. You may have some questions about writing or marketing. You may have questions about the books themselves. Have you read the series? This is the third one. If you read the first two, I'm pretty sure you're going to read the third one. We'll talk about that with her as we move along. So, want to join in? Maybe a comment about the first two books. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or go ahead and email us at ideas@wpr.org. Danielle Lincoln Hanna, and the title of your book is?
Mailboat 3, The Captain's Tale.
The Captain's Tale. And here I had it right in front of me. Unfortunately, already my neighbor has absconded with my copy of the book.
I've heard of these things happening. I'd given a copy to my boyfriend's mom and learned a week or two later that she didn't have it anymore because her friends kept stealing it from her. So,
yeah, it's I can see how that happened. For those who aren't familiar with the series, tell us, give us the setting and the basic plot of the books.
So it is set in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The series is inspired by the Lake Geneva Mailboat, which delivers the mail peer-to-peer by means of a young person who jumps off the boat, runs up the pier, puts the mail on the box, turns back. They have to get back on the boat before it's gone because it just keeps going, or they end up in the lake. So that was the inspiration, the real-life mailboat. Where my series starts off, my mail jumper misses the boat, ends up in the water, and finds a dead body at the end of someone's pier. And this event relaunches a manhunt that was dormant since before she was born.
And that was book one.
That was book one. That was a little while ago now.
that's about 2 years ago.
I think book one came out in summer of 2016.
So and I think it's a good kind of a cool story as to how you decided on this. You know, you're just visiting Lake Geneva?
Not even, no. So I'm originally from North Dakota. I currently live in western Montana. I've always loved public radio, public television, and I was just watching TV one day. Wisconsin Public Television had done a story on the mailboat, which they happened to be airing that day. And I saw it. I was absolutely fascinated by it. I love writing stories about things that are true to real life, but maybe you've never heard of them because they're very unique or very local. And I knew I could spin a story around the Lake Geneva mailboat, and that got me started.
And that mailboat's still out there.
Mailboat's still out there. I was on it yesterday morning with a group of my fans, and we watched the Intrepid Mail Jumpers endeavor to not get wet, and it went pretty well. So
you didn't try it yourself?
I did a few years ago, but not yesterday.
Okay. Well, so that's where you got the idea for the series. The newest, The Captain's Tale, is the third in the series, and it's murder happens.
Murder happens, certainly in the series.
Yeah, people are dying right and left. Well, not right and left.
I try to kill off a select few.
Yeah, so this is the plot. What's the plot in the book? Or describe that a little bit for us.
So there's definitely the mystery line, the murder line, and it's all based on this case that involves some high-end bank robberies that happened ages ago. And finally, we have some new events that are bringing facts to light again and causing us to question everything. And that's the main mystery line. But layered over the top of that, I've also got four main characters. And at its heart, I feel the story is about their experiences and how these traumatic events are shaping their lives. The main character is the the male jumper.
Bailey.
Bailey, teenage girl. She's 16. She's in foster care. She is sadly in an abusive situation. She doesn't know how to get out. I don't think she really knows that she could get out. She's surrounded by good people who want to help, but she doesn't
trust
dare
them.
Believe. She doesn't trust, and she doesn't dare believe that maybe her life could be better. Then we also have the mailboat captain, Tommy. He's been driving the mailboat pretty much since the lake's been on the face of the earth. And he cares very much for Bailey, but he's afraid to because he had a child who broke his trust in the past. Then we have our two law enforcement officers. We have Ryan, who is a bicycle cop back in his hometown of Lake Geneva after being gone for many years. And he accidentally bumps into his ex-wife, Monica, who is a police detective at the same police department. And sparks are flying everywhere and exciting things happening with the two of them.
So there's and those four, they're interesting. And then there's Bud, Bailey's foster father, who's not a nice guy at all.
No, far from it.
And there are some other characters that certainly come to the fore during, but those four are really,
they're the spine of the series, really.
So how did you come on Bailey for the main character in the book?
I do like writing about teenagers, and I think it's because it's a time of your life that's full of so much change, and you're not really a child anymore, and you're trying to figure out how to be an adult, and so it's like a really challenging time anyway. And so I do love writing about teenage main characters.
Well, I think you do a pretty good job. Some of the reviews, I've seen a few reviews that say this is the best of the three.
Some people are saying that, yeah, which I was very flattered.
Well, what do you think?
I'm glad they thought it was the best of the three. Finishing up the series was really hard the third book was hard because, for one, when I was working on the climax sequence, I realized kind of last minute there was a big chunk that needed to be in the story that I had not accounted for. So that was a lot more work. I spent a fair amount of time being rather sick last winter and last spring when I should have been working.
Mm.
So everything got really crunched. I don't think I ever had a moment actually to sit down and read my book from start to finish in an unbroken line before publishing it. And so the fact that people were telling me it's your best yet made me very relieved because it was so rushed at the end.
Well, and I tell you, that last third of the book is full of
it's a really big, long, huge climax.
That is, it's really an exciting read.
Oh, good.
for sure. Sarah in Zion, Illinois, has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there, Larry. Hi, guest. Yeah, my mom grew up in Lake Geneva, and my grandma lived there, and I spent a lot of time there when I was a kid. And I'm curious about, it sounds like your book is set currently, but you go back in time. And I'm wondering about what kind of research you've done into the history of Lake Geneva and just how things were in the past and how you put that in your book. And if you, along the lakefront, there's all those wealthy families, the Wrigleys and lots of rich people, and I wonder how you incorporate that, if at all, in your book.
Mm. Oh. So research into the series. I definitely, research is really, really important to me, and especially if I'm going to set a story in a place where people live, and they're going to be reading my stuff with a magnifying glass, making sure I get stuff right. So I did make two research trips to Lake Geneva before I published the first book. And as to more specifically the history, it's hard to avoid the history in Lake Geneva. You kind of just trip over it left and right. And especially if you take the boat tours, they're telling you all about the early days of the lake and everything. So, I soaked it up everywhere I could. Specifically, book three does feature some flashback scenes to the 1950s in Lake Geneva. And I do have to say, I didn't put in as much research as I would have liked into Lake Geneva in the 1950s, again, because things were a little rushed. But one thing I did very fortunately have, I have these scenes feature kids playing neighborhood baseball. And one of the members of my writer's club back home grew up in the 50s playing neighborhood baseball. And so mm-hmm. she was able to go over those scenes with a fine-tooth comb and make it really come to life for me, show me how it was. And I think you had a part two to your question, which I've already forgotten.
Sarah, are you...
I was asking about specifically... Like the wealthy families who...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right, the wealthy families.
And they do, there are some, well, Roland, I think is...
Yeah, Roland in the series, he's someone who has a house on the lake, lives on the lake. For that one, again, I was very fortunate. I got to meet some people who live on the lake. I can't say that I know anybody from, like, one of the old wealthy families on the lake, but I know people who know people. And honestly, just sitting around and picking up the lake gossip and everything, that's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had some interesting and entertaining stories.
I was trying to remember if there's been a book done on the history of Lake Geneva itself.
I would say several. In fact, I just noticed there's a new one out specifically about Stone Manor. I think it's called Younglands and Stone Manor because the house was originally known as Younglands. So there's that one specifically. There's also, I forget the name of this book series. It's about postcards and whatnot and everything, and they have one for Lake Geneva. So I know there's plenty of books on the history of Lake Geneva.
Interesting. Sarah, thanks so much. Appreciate your call. We are visiting today with Danielle Lincoln Hanna. She has out... the latest book in her series. It's the Mailboat Suspense series, and the title of the latest is called The Captain's Tale. You can join in. Maybe you have a question about writing, or maybe you have a question about the series. Have you read some of these books? I know some of you have, because the last time she was on, she told me that there were quite a few book sales following her appearance here on the show. So what'd you think of it? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking today with Danielle Lincoln Hanna. She is in book three in the Mailboat Suspense series. This one's called The Captain's Tale. So we're talking about that book. We're talking about a series writing, which is we haven't gotten into yet, but I want to ask her some questions about it because they drive me nuts in many ways, as a matter of fact. I'm interested to hear how you react to series writing as she's done here. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. So each book ends with a big-time cliffhanger.
True. I've been told that book three felt like a little bit more of a conclusion and a breather than the other two, but this story is definitely not done, and we know it.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't agree with that.
Oh, okay.
I thought, oh, man, there's, well, you know, I could, maybe if I think about it, we don't want to give away what happens.
True.
because there's a lot that happens to the characters. What do you hear from folks about the characters themselves?
A lot. Everybody loves Bailey, the main character. Everybody wants Bud, one of the main villains of the story, to come to a very horrific end.
Yeah.
I've had people with very vivid imaginations describe how he should end, and I'm like, wow, you're darker than I am. Monica, the police detective, she's been interesting, because in book one, I don't think a lot of people really liked her, because she's got a very forceful personality, words that I don't feel comfortable using on the air, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And... in book two and three, I think we get to see inside her a little bit better,
yeah.
And we see why she is how she is. And I think
in three.
Yeah, we kind of see a lot of what's driving her, and now people are a little bit more on board with her and understand her more.
Yeah, I didn't like her either. I'm still not crazy about her, to be honest, but I understand her better, I guess. That's mm-hmm. Julie and Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And what can we do for you today?
Hi. Hi, Danielle. This is Julie from Oak Park Place in Madison.
Hi, Julie. We've talked. Hi.
Hi, at your fan club. Our residents are listening into your program today.
Cool. Hi, guys.
We're very, very concerned about Tommy, and we're wondering how he...
Oh.
I don't know if it spoils it in book three, if you let us know how Tommy survives.
Oh, I think we're going deep into spoilers territory here. I am under oath to myself not to reveal spoilers for anyone else's enjoyment.
So have you, Julie, have you gotten a copy of the book yet?
Not yet. I'm going to be planning on picking it up tonight.
Okay.
Well, you know, and we should mention it. So are you going to Mystery to Me tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay. So talk about that.
I'm on book signing tour here in Southeast Wisconsin and a little bit in Chicago. And tonight I am going to be at a bookstore here in Madison called Mystery to Me. And we're going to be doing a reading at 7 o'clock, Q&A, followed by book sale and book signing.
So that's very, so you'll be there, Julie.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
So you're not going to find out if Tommy survives. You're going to have to read the book. I'll stop there. I almost said something that would have given some things away.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Thanks, Julie. Why do you like the book, by the way, Julie?
Well, the residents here at the assisted living facility where I work, we followed each book along the way, and we were fortunate enough to become close fan club friends with Danielle, and she did a couple live video chats with
us. We did a live video chat with you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're actually making a visual board of all of our characters, reviewing the books, and picking up some new people in our group, and we're going to start reading the book in about a week.
Oh,
nice.
That sounds wonderful. Julie, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Now, have you, and of course, Julie, there, you got a nice fan club there, and there are other ones as well?
Oh, definitely. There's little pockets of, you know, readers clubs or just groups of friends who have all kind of, they definitely like to get together or talk about the series. When I was on the mail boat yesterday, that was a group of friends. They'd been in the same career together, also have a book club together. And they got in touch and said, can we take you on a mail boat cruise? And I said, absolutely. So.
And you do. I went to your website. You have a really nice website.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it is?
DanielleLincolnHannah.com. Hannah is spelled H-A-N-N-A.
Yeah, and it's really well put together.
Well, thank you.
And I you do a lot of things relating to. I mean, you will visit. You know, you're out there to.
Yeah. No, I love going on the book signing tours and actually getting to meet my readers in person, or you know, meet people who've never heard of the series before. I've done some live video chats. Those are a lot of fun. I'm very active on my Facebook page, and my fans love interacting with me there too. So,
and I see even on your page that there's a necklace.
Yeah, yeah. So the series features a silver helm necklace. It's a necklace with just a little silver pendant of a helm, and I found out that I could actually get these necklaces and sell them, and so those two are available for sale on my website.
Yeah, and not an outrageous price by any means at all.
No.
$10 or something for.
Yeah, no, and honestly, like, and I've used them as giveaways and stuff too. I would say my readers mostly just want the next book. So,
do people really get? You know, I thought when I finished book three, I thought, oh no, now we're going to have to wait for the next one. Do people get angry with you, or do they just say?
There's a lot of different responses. The two main camps, there's kind of this, I think, a smaller camp of people who are like, wrap it up or I'm out.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger camp is people who kind of love being strung along like this. And like, you know, they're all, don't give me spoilers. Don't you dare. I want the experience of waiting between the books and then snatching the next one and reading it. And so most of the time when I tell people there's probably going to be 6 or 7 books in this series, they're like, great. We can't wait.
Well, and for some people, I guess if I'm thinking, oh, man, I want to buy this series, I would go, well, right now you could buy all three and you could just sit and read.
It's true. In fact, I've got one fan. She was at one of my signings this weekend. She has bought all three of the books I have out so far, but she told me she's not read them because she's waiting for that last book to release and then she's going to binge read them.
Oh, my goodness.
She has patience.
Yeah, she has a lot of patience. Megan, who is heading to Louisville from Lake Geneva.
Oh.
Hi, Megan.
Hi. Yes, I'm driving home and just loving this conversation. And I haven't read your series, but I can't wait to get it.
Okay.
Just really enjoyed Lake Geneva and took the boat tour. And just
good.
The history is everywhere. So it's sunk into me, and I can't wait to read your book. I have a question for you. I left my career to pursue writing, and I'm almost done with my first book.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I found it's such a competitive industry, and I already had to create a website and start social media, and I'm just wondering, how did you break in, and how did you get a publisher to believe in you, and what's the process like to get where you are now?
Well, okay. So first of all, I didn't actually convince a publisher to publish me. I decided to self-publish. And I did that because I really liked the options that self-publishing presented for me. I had final creative control. I also get to keep all the profits off my books. Granted, there's a lot of overhead in my business, but at the end of the day, I get to keep the money I earned, and I liked that. But if for anyone who does want to pursue traditional publishing, of course, you have to start pitching agents or editors, whichever you prefer. But yeah, for me, it was just a case of making a professional product, writing a really well-polished book, getting other people's eyes on it to make sure I had no mistakes, and hiring a really great cover designer to make my cover art, and then really just hitting the pavement and just making sure that every day I'm introducing new people to my series so that they can pick it up and start reading it.
And the cover art is really nice.
Thank you.
It's right up there with anything.
Oh, thank you.
I think anyway. So you did pursue it a little bit, but then just...
So my pursuit of traditional publishing, so you have to understand, I started writing when I was 4 years old. I was writing my first novel when I was 7, and that's when I decided I was going to be an author when I grew up. At that time, traditional publishing was the only option, so I was gearing up to pursue that option. And then, a couple of years before I put out my first novel, I heard about this whole self-publishing thing. And so I never actually got around to pitching agents or editors. And I was like, no, I like this option. I'm just going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going well for me, so...
Yeah, and I have a friend who did that, writing a series of teen books, and a guy who teaches English,
cool.
And he got started on it, and he's done really quite well, as a matter of fact.
You know, if you're willing to put in the work, you will reap the rewards. There's kind of a direct correlation, how hard you're willing to make a good product and promote it, and how much reward you will get for those efforts.
So what does, just to pursue that a little further, I mean, do you have some marketing background of your own? And your website, as I said, is really well done.
Thank you.
That social media aspect.
It's all self-taught, and all self-taught because I wanted to be an author when I grew up.
Oh.
So yeah, the website's just a website I put together on my own, and I update on my own. I like knowing how my website works so I can take care of it myself. Again, social media to me is easy. It's just getting on there and being yourself and, you know, posting pictures of your cute new puppy. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. And also, but I think with social media, there has to be regular. I mean, you have to keep at it.
Yeah. No, you have to be.
You can't just let your website or your Facebook page sit.
No. You know, if you let any part of your business die, it'll die. But I enjoy the kind of the business part of my job just as much as the creative part. So for me, it's easy. And I literally split my day down the middle. The first half of my day, I'm writing. the second half of my day, I'm promoting or just doing the bookkeeping or whatever I need to do. And I like them both equally.
Yeah. Megan, does that help?
That's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, I think in today, it's so easy to make websites with WordPress and content management systems that mm-hmm. we can do a lot of this ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And right, just being authentic on social media goes so far. So
it
I can't
does.
Wait to follow you and read your books. Thank,
well, thank
you so much for sharing your world and your advice. Thank you.
Thanks,
pleasure.
Megan. Appreciate it. Wayne in Marshfield has a question, I believe. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning. I have a comment and a question. Our daughter-in-law grew up in Assembly Park, and I believe that's on Lake Geneva. It's a group of summer homes, and her father managed that facility for many, many years. And that's Assembly Park. It's a group of homes from Chicago, people with money who came up to that area to spend the summer.
Yeah.
I'm a blind reader, and I'm wondering if any of your books have been recorded, either by the Library for the Blind in Milwaukee or the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C.
Unfortunately, no, not yet. And I've had a number of people who want, like, audiobooks of the series. And it's not something I've produced just yet, I'm sad to say. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a self-published author, I get to foot all the bills. And hiring voice talent is a pretty major bill, which I've not been able to achieve yet. But it is definitely on my radar. Soon as I can make audiobooks of my series, I will. So there's that.
You could probably do it yourself, too.
I've considered that, too. I feel relatively comfortable reading my own works, but then I also have to consider my time investment, also getting good equipment for it all, and learning a whole new skill. So
it is hard to. I mean, I've done done some attempts at that myself because we have something called Chapter a Day here, and I thought once I thought, oh, you know, I'd kind of like to do a Chapter a Day book, and so I rather than put myself out there and say, hey, I'll do it. I thought, I'll just try one myself.
Uh-huh.
And I did have a little acting, but I found it difficult to get the different voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? This is a lot of work.
It is. You don't really realize it up front, but it is another whole new skill set.
But I'm really glad to hear that that's something you're shooting for, and probably Wayne is too. Wayne,
oh,
thanks.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Wayne. Appreciate it. Jennifer in Eau Claire has something for us. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. See, I'm wondering if your series is appropriate for teenagers.
Yeah, I like to consider it like a PG-13. So I would say 13 and up, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, people die,
mm-hmm.
but they're, I'm trying to think of another, it's not, the deaths, I mean, they're violent, but they're not gruesome.
Right, yeah.
If you can say murdering somebody is not gruesome, but
in literature, you can do that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have... Jennifer, I have a 15-year-old who's soon to be 16, and I'm going to give her copies of the book to read. I wouldn't have any problem with her reading those books. So, sure, I just from my own personal point of view, I wouldn't mind a teenager reading the books.
Yeah.
So that helped, Jen?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. What do you think draws a reader to a character?
Gosh, I think the character needs to feel authentic. I think it's easy to write a character that is two-dimensional and doesn't pop from the page. So I think you really need, I think a little bit of psychology helps, really just understanding people and what makes them tick. And then just really layering in the details so that they're a three-dimensional character.
Yeah. Do you ever worry about making them too good or too bad?
Not with my characters. Maybe too bad I should worry
too
about.
Too bad. I think you could worry about too bad for sure.
For sure. No, none of my four heroes are perfect. They are far from perfect. And I think that helps create a lot of conflict and thus drama. Quite possibly I should be concerned about my characters being too evil. Apparently my villains get a little out of hand.
Do you have a set arc in mind when you, you've got, there are probably several more of these series of books to come. And do you have in mind what's going to happen when, or do the characters take you a little further, or what happens?
It's a combination. Because, like, on the one hand, I know exactly where the series ends. I know how the story arc completes for all the main characters. And I know major plot points along the way and major plot twists. But beyond that, it can be a little bit vague in my mind. And so when I sit down to write a new book in the series, I'm like, I know these big things happen, but how does it all connect? And so I get to go on this little adventure of discovery as I'm writing each book too.
Valerie in Muscadet emailed to say she wonders if it's necessary to read the books in order, or can she start with the third one in the series? So are they kind of standalone?
Oh, I would definitely recommend starting with book one. The series is really just all one big continuing story. So I always steer people towards book one. If they try to get in at book two or book three, they would probably be a little confused. They'd be missing a lot of pieces.
Yeah, especially, you'd almost have to read book one.
I think so.
But you have, I mean, they're certainly available.
Yeah, the books. Yeah.
I mean, you got the bookstores.
Indeed.
Like Mystery to Me.
Mystery to Me. In Lake Geneva, there's the Breadloaf bookstore, as well as Cornerstone Shop and Geneva Gifts. They all carry the books. You can ask at your local library. They may or may not have it, just depending on what their collection is. And then
And you can go online to your site.
Absolutely. In fact, as of last Christmas, I created a feature where you can order autographed books off my website. That's been super popular. My website, again, is DanielleLincolnHannah.com, Hannah spelled H-A-N-N-A. And then they're also available on Amazon, both paperback and Kindle.
So there's any number of ways that that people can get all and just get all three at the same time.
Oh,
and
for sure.
The cost isn't really out of line at all. I didn't think.
Not that I've seen. In fact, I poll my readers a lot. I ask them questions constantly. What do you guys want? And recently I asked them about price points. And I sell them for $15. Some individual retailers might have a different price on it. But I sell them $15 a copy, and that's what my readers told me they wanted. So
there you go. Well, how do you stand out? How do you try to make yourself stand out from the past? I mean, there's so many authors out there.
Oh yeah, and I think my answer to that is that I don't try to stand out. My theory is more: I know people love the books. All I have to do is say hi to people every day and see if they want a book. And with my series, most people do want the book. They find it looks really attractive. They like the cover art. They like the blurb. If they've met me in person, they tend to be like, oh, she seems really nice. I'd like to read her book. And what happens for me is that somebody reads the first book, and then they go on and buy the rest of the series, but then they also go and either share their copy with friends and family or buy them copies or tell them to go buy copies. So it's kind of like planting weeds and watching them take over.
Yeah. You're working on book four, and I think you have you've set a deadline, or maybe it's a personal deadline, of August.
I'm aiming for that to come out summer of 2020. My website says August because there is a pre-order up, and that one requires me to have a date on it.
Oh, I gotcha.
But it's more of a loose deadline right now of summer 2020.
And what do you do to make sure you reach that goal?
Write every day.
So how many hours a day do you spend writing?
I try to spend at least 2 hours a day writing. If it's going well, that might bleed over into 3 or 4 hours.
And if it's not going well, do you?
If it's not going well, there's a few days when even an hour is just painful, and then I just close up shop and say, well, we'll try that another time.
And you were a big reader growing up, were you not?
I was. I used to hide books under my bed when I should have been doing homework.
I've got a daughter kind of like that, too.
It can turn out all right.
She's
got A's. It's fine.
So does she. She gets A's, too. But she loves to read. And mm-hmm. so that's, for me, that's a joy. I mean, she'll go to her phone and sit there and look at cat mm-hmm. videos or whatever, too, once in a while. But she still loves to read mm-hmm. and pick up a book
mm-hmm.
and open the pages of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And read. Do you have favorite authors? I mean, were there people that inspired you?
Oh, gosh. I do have some favorite authors. Ironically enough, I don't have a lot of modern-day favorite authors.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I did read a lot of classics and things like that. And so, like, my favorite author is Robert Louis Stevenson. He wrote Treasure Island. Mm-hmm. He wrote Kidnapped. So he was an adventure author. I also really like the Sherlock Holmes tales by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah.
One of my favorite series, it was published in between the 70s and the 90s, and it's done now. The author has passed away. But it's like that series that I find so satisfying that I will only read maybe one of the books a year because I'm trying to draw it all out. And that would be The Brother Cadfael Chronicles by Ellis Peters.
Oh, sure.
Which was also on public television.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, at some point, we may see some of your work on television, too.
I will not complain if that happens.
Or in the film. Or in films.
I will be the first one to buy my ticket.
Well, you probably won't have to buy your own ticket for that.
Oh, even better.
So tonight you're at Mystery to Me. It's a great bookstore in Madison. And you're speaking at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And then where else? We're at Matheson Memorial Library in Elkhorn.
Mm-hmm. That one's on
June 21st.
June 21st. That one's going to be 3 to 5 p.m. That one's also going to be a reading followed by a Q&A followed by a signing.
And then Cornerstone Shop and Gallery, I have you here in Lake Geneva. Of course, you got to be in Lake Geneva.
Yes. And I've already had several signings in Lake Geneva, but people keep coming to them, so we keep going.
Oh, why not? That's the next one's June 22nd from 11 to 4. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And in fact, no. So Cornerstone Shop is one of my biggest signing events every year. I'm waiting for the day we actually have to stick out the lines for people to walk through. So that one's always a big one. I might even be there earlier and later, just depending on the traffic, really.
Mm-hmm. And then you're at in Williams Bay at the Barrett Memorial Library on June 23rd.
That's correct. That one's 3 to 5 p.m.
So you've got lots of work ahead of you. And,
yep.
And the book sales, have you been happy with? I mean, I have no idea what your sales have been like. I assume they've been pretty good.
I've been super happy. As a matter of fact, my sales last year did so well that I took a plunge at the beginning of this year. I went full-time writing, which allowed me to put book three out 6 months earlier than originally advertised. It came out this June. And it's been wonderful, so I am definitely not complaining.
Well, Danielle, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm sure come next year when the number four comes out,
yep,
we'll have you back.
I would be delighted. Thank you.
We'll do it all over again.
I'll be here.
Thank you so much. Danielle Lincoln Hanna, our guest today. She is finished book three in the Mailboat Suspense series. The latest is called The Captain's Tale. I finished it about a week or so ago and really enjoyed it. I bet you will as well. She'll be back and we'll talk with her again. In the meantime, Danielle, if you just type in Danielle Lincoln Hanna
mm-hmm.
into the website, you're going to find her website and
absolutely
some more information there.
Do you recommend spelling Hanna, H-A-N-N-A? But if you throw another H on the end, you'll probably still find me.
Yeah, I can't remember if I misspelled one of you. I think I might have hit Danielle wrong.
You know, that could happen too.
So, well, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it very much. We're going to continue our conversation about mystery writing. And our next guest, Heather Shoemaker, has written, she's written a number of things, but she's got a book out now. It's called The Griffins of Castle Cary, and it's aimed at a younger audience. So that coming up next on the Ideas Network.